Under Section 34B of the 1942 Broadcasting Act, the ABC must provide fair and equal airtime to both sides of the political spectrum. Therefore, in accordance with a High Court directive, Triple J is compelled to broadcast a show presented by conservative youth. So, would you please welcome Sterling Addison, Sydney Grammar GPS Debating Champion, and Tom Tomlinson, Mining Industry Bachelor of the Year 2003, as they finally bring an unbiased political voice to the ABC and attempt to restore the balance.
Good evening and welcome to Restoring the Balance. We welcome this evening all Anglican members of Queensland Friends of the Australian Ballet. We also welcome the new but lamentably French head of the IMF, Christine Lagarde, and finally Captain Stephen Small of the Black Watch, who is director of the British Army School of Bagpipe Music and Highland Drumming. On the show this evening, Mr. Tom Tomlinson, member of the Young Nationals, we will speak to the Honourable Bill Shorten, who is the Assistant Treasurer. We'll speak with Labor Party strategist and Managing Director of Campaigns and Communications, Mr. Bruce Walker. We'll also discuss free-range chickens, and if we're allowed, if we're not shut off midway through, we will discuss and excoriate those behind the proposed media inquiry.
Yes, Sterling, very good to be here for another evening for our conversation of no confidence. Let's just kick off with a carbon tax, mate. Yes. Obviously, Gillard trying to slip it through Parliament this week. What did you make of it?
Indeed. Well, it was subterfuge. It was high treason. And no coincidence at all that a media inquiry has been touted the same week as the carbon tax begins its threatened journey through both houses of parliament. I wonder if, like me, Tom, you think that is a ruse, an attempt to quieten the attack dogs of the media.
Well, look, I mean, people are saying, like, it's only 35 hours and all this sort of stuff.
35 hours of debate.
What do people want? Do they want it up on Federation Square? Do they want to bring a few beers and a cook chook and want it? How long does it take to feed the thing into a bloody shredder, Sterling?
Yes, well
that's
said.
The debate I want.
Yes.
And I don't want to be too alarmist, but when Gillard brings this thing in, she should put on a black cap because she is executing the Australian economy.
Indeed.
That's what she's doing. If this thing comes through, let's whack on the cod pieces, start spreading scurvy, because we're back in the Middle Ages, mate.
Yes,
Rebecca
yes.
Gibney, she's going to be doing a new round of World Vision ads. She'll be crouching next to us.
Well, yes, indeed. The Black Death is the Greens' perfect vision of the future.
The Green
low
Death,
impact,
mate.
Yes.
The Green Death.
The Green Death, indeed. That is a low-impact ecological footprint. That's what they want.
In 10 years' time, mate, the Liberians, they're going to be sending us goats.
Indeed.
That's how bad it is,
indeed.
All right? And don't think I'm being alarmist here.
Yes.
It's not alarmist at all,
no,
Sterling.
That
this
is a sober.
This is the reality.
That is a sober reflection. Now, of course, the phrase has been bandied about that history will judge those objecting to the carbon tax. Well, I say to those people, if by history you mean the electorate and by judge you mean vote out the party proposing this carbon tax to end global warming, then yes, history, a.k.a. the electorate, will judge, a.k.a. vote out the party proposing a carbon tax to end global warming. And Tom, I can't put it more simply than that.
No, I follow that. And I tell you what, and if you're listening, the Environment Minister and Gillard, the women at the CWA at Gunnedah are baking a tray of extremely hard scones. These women are angry.
Yes.
Scones so hard, Sterling, they can shatter the windscreen of any comm car.
Now
they're not happy.
Now, what fuels their oven? Is it gas fuel? Because that's a low carbon emission way of baking. Or is it perhaps coal powered?
Yes.
What is it? Well, now, the debate in the House, as you mentioned, Tom, the bills, MPs only have 1 minute per bill to debate. I mean, MPs haven't been under that much pressure, time-related pressure, since Craig Thompson last visited a brothel.
Restoring the balance.
We are of the right. We have the right. We are right.
This is Restoring the Balance with myself, Young National Tom Tomlinson, Young Liberal Sterling Addison, a conversation of no confidence for 2 hours this evening. That was Sterling, the Beastie Boys. Never heard of those guys.
African-American, obviously.
Don't play no game that I... Oh, look, I won't. Look them up on Wikipedia. I won't be, but that's the Beastie Boys.
Now, Bruce Hawker is a Labor Party political advisor and managing director of campaigns and communications. He's advised the Labor Party as to how to run their elections. I wouldn't be drawing attention to that personally if I were he, but he will be appearing on this show next.
Asylum seekers, let's talk
illegal
about
immigrants.
Illegal
in
boat people. Boat people, let's talk about them. Stirling, obviously, Gillard's, you know, putting the hand out to Abbott, wanting him to support her bad Malaysian policy.
He won't do it.
He won't. Meanwhile, the people smugglers, you know, over there in Indonesia, it's going to be like a boat people regatta in a couple of weeks, Stirling. And I spoke to a guy I know in the Young Nats. They like coming this time of year, the boat people, because we're all distracted by the footy finals.
Yes.
Obviously, AFL, NRL, we've got the Rugby World Cup, we've got the Sri Lanka Test Series, we've got the tennis, we've got the Foxy Boxing, we've got it all going on.
Yes.
This is the time they come. It's going to be a bloody regatta out there in a couple of weeks. It's going to look like the America's Cup. We're going to have to put traffic lights.
Yes.
There's going to be so much congestion.
Well, anyone following the debate with interest, as is most of the country, would know that the hand of apparent friendship was extended by Gillard. It was smacked down by Abbott, sensibly saying that he could not guarantee the human rights of refugees under the proposed revitalisation of the Malaysian solution, which we know is a twitching corpse.
Yes.
We know that finally Abbott has moved to reincorporate the moral high ground into Australia's moral high migration zone. That is what he has done. Now, by asserting the human rights of refugees, what Abbott is cleverly doing is reminding people that we in the Liberal Party are the party of compassion. Compassion. And I would say, compassion, if you slur it, sounds almost like cash. Now, that keeps both the wets and the dries of the Liberal Party happy.
It does, Stirling. And let's not leave out the Nationals when it comes to compassion. You know, Trussie, Warren Truss, is a very compassionate individual, as is Barnaby Joyce.
Yes.
But let me say this. Nauru has always prided itself on human rights, as has all of Micronesia. And did you know that Micronesia and Nauru, a couple of years ago, started the Nauru OK Day?
Yes.
You know, obviously we had that this week where Nauruvians would go around to the illegal immigrants and go, Nauru, okay.
Yes.
Are you okay? They'd say, no, I've been in here a few years. They'd have a little bit of a whinge. But it was the thought that counted with Nauru.
Well, they had a whinge. Well, I would label that being a bad guest. My version it would be stern Protestant friendship to any illegal immigrants. What we do is simply feed them, put them up for the night, then send them on their way.
Well, you know what I was thinking, Stirling, you know, with the whole legalese and stuff, and I know you're across this more than me.
Yes.
What about, you know, we obviously use the term, and the Greens and the ALP like to use the term asylum seekers because it's, you know, it's quite emotional. You think of the, you know, they're fleeing troubles at home and, you know, persecution.
Yes.
And, you know, when all they're really doing is supporting the people smugglers model.
That's
Let's
right.
face it, that's what they're doing.
Yes.
What about We're calling them NTTs, which is what we in the Young Nats are talking about, non-traditional tourists.
Yes.
Okay, so they rock up, we give them a pub crawl around Christmas Island, a novelty key ring, send them back.
Send them back.
Non-traditional tourism.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yes, well, we'll see if the Department of Immigration gets onto that. They probably won't. It will take them years, of course. I don't think the bearded ponytails that crashed the immigration minister's press conference yesterday would embrace the idea of an NTT, however.
Yes, well, they chased Bowen down the street, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
I've always said he was a Justin Bieber of Australian politics, getting chased by a mob through the streets of Sydney, mate.
A minister of the Crown. Well, I would say to any immigrants coming into this country with regard to those who crashed that particular press conference, next time you come, bring an extra razor for those louts.
Restoring the Balance Re-Education Tutorial number 47. Unions.
Trade unions are organisations of workers that have banded together to achieve common goals such as better working conditions. In Australia, unions have come to wield enormous power, from choosing the Prime Minister, setting wages, and deciding what song finalists may sing on The X Factor. The ALP is happy to receive money from unions, regardless of where it comes from. As such, it receives cash from the United Union of Firefighters and Allied Male Strippers, the Amalgamated Union of Middle-Aged Men Who Lurk in Teen Chat Rooms Posing as Girls, and the Federated Alliance of Pimps and Meth Peddlers, to which all ABC employees belong.
Restoring the Balance.
How have you supported the American Alliance today?
Triple J.
Restoring the Balance on Triple J, Young National, Tom Tomlinson, myself, proud Young Liberal, Sterling Addison. Coca-Cola, it's good to see an endorsement of a fine and responsible corporate citizen.
On such the ABC.
Such as Coca-Cola Amatil. The band there, Little Red.
Yes.
Yes,
no surprise.
No doubt. Yes, indeed. Little Red, Major Red, you would say. Most people at the ABC are of the Maoist stripe. Speaking of such people, Tom, a deranged communist, you would have to call Bruce Walker.
Hawker.
I knew it was Bruce Hawker. He's a Labour Party political advisor and managing director of campaign and communications. I mispronounced his name because I swore it so often when he was chief of staff to Bob Carr as a besieged Sydney resident, waiting to see where the roads would go and where they'd be fixed. Well, Bruce should have got out there with a jackhammer himself, but he never did. But instead, here he is on our program. Good evening, Bruce.
Hey, fellas. Yeah, there is a Bruce Walker. He is a Maoist. I'm just a commie.
Yes, indeed.
Bruce, I like to think of you, mate, as an evil genius. You've been a strategist for the ALP. I've seen you on Q&A getting foot massages from Tony Jones and all your mates here at the ABC.
Yes.
Mate, what is wrong with the ALP at the moment, Bruce? I like to think...
It's only a two-hour show, Tom.
If it was a brand, it'd be like Ed Hardy. It's all bright and colourful, but no one wants to wear it, mate. What's gone wrong?
Well, I think they've got they've been very successful, of course, for a long time in the past, but in recent times I think they've lost a bit of direction, and people are sensitive to that. They really start to get the sense if you're not really being true to yourself on a whole range of issues, and I think that's part of the problem for Labor at the moment. They're tending to appeal, I think, to two separate groups and failing to appeal to either. They've got issues with boat people on one hand, and then they've got to deal with inner city types as well. So
Yes. All
that creates real problems for the party.
Bruce, what percentage do you think of ALP policy is decided by the unions and what percentage is decided by the whims of Western Sydney?
Well, that's a really interesting question because the unions represent 50% of the vote at national conference and state conferences, and there's an emerging view that that's just too much, particularly when you've just got a few union officials who are calling the shots.
Yes.
And that makes it very hard to attract people into the party. So I think if you were to halve the union representation at state and national conferences, then you'd get much more balance. I think if you opened up the leadership contest to the whole rank and file to vote on rather than just leave it to the parliamentary party, you would attract more people as well. And you'd get people who really have great interest in the political life joining rather than people who just think if I follow loyally, I'm going to get to the top.
Indeed.
Surely, Bruce, though, questioning the powers of the union, you're going to get a pig's head or a shovel like shoved on your front lawn, mate,
Yes. Sometime
soon.
I mean,
is that going to be a hard model to break for the ALP, giving, the actual members of the party a bit of a voice?
It's a thing called democracy, Tom.
How's that going to work? I mean, is that going to be hard to get through?
Well, democracy is what we're talking about here, and I think it will be difficult because people don't want to give up power, but when you're struggling to get to 30% of the vote, then sensible people are going to say, well, we've got to do something.
Yes.
And so there have been changes in the past, big changes in the past brought on when the party's been in real strife. For example, Gough Whitlam back in the 1960s brought in a lot of changes to the way in which the National Conference operated. Up until then, it was just a few people gathering in a closed room making the decisions. The National Executive made policy decisions without reference to the parliamentary leadership.
Yes.
That was just untenable. And as a result, changes came. And, of course, we saw Whitlam elected in 1972, pretty much as a result of the reforms that were introduced in the 1960s.
Now, Bruce Hawker, Labor political advisor and managing director of campaigns and communications. Julie Gillard has come out recently and said that she wants to set a target of 8,000 new members for the ALP, which often happens in Cabramatta on the night of a hotly contested pre-selection. But what central message will the ALP, which appears at times quite schizophrenic, what central ethos will it pitch to those 8,000 new members that it wants to recruit?
Well, I think it's got to say to those people, we're going to give you a say. There's no point in saying, look, come and join the Labor Party and every month you can go and sit in a dusty hall and vote on motions which are never going to get anywhere. You really have to say, we're going to open up the party to you so that you're going to get a say. That's the sort of thing that they do over in the UK now. both the Conservatives, you fellas be happy to hear about that,
yes,
and the Labor Party in the UK have full participation by their membership. They have affiliated organisations, so if you're like Labor lawyers or doctors reform type organisations, they can get a vote in the leadership as well. In Canada, the New Democratic Party, which is the closest thing to the Labor Party that they've got there, has a full rank and file vote for their leadership, and they've got 86,000 members. And their parliamentary representation, since they've started to make those sorts of changes and reduce the union representation, has gone from about 9 in 2003 to 108 seats in the Canadian Parliament in the last election. So they're on a winning formula there, and I think we've got to start following them. So if she wants to get the 9,000, 8,000 members, she's got to say, we're going to give you a real say. It's not just going to be tokenistic.
Hey, Bruce, you know, I was reading that apparently you helped, you know, with the negotiations with the country independents, the turncoats who stabbed the Nationals in the back and served up, you know, their policies back to on a piece of toast. Windsor's come out and said Abbott was, you know, going to sell his arse and even considering doing that. But surely... surely Gillard must have bent over backwards to satisfy the likes of Oakeshott and Windsor and stuff like that last year?
Well, I think she actually engaged in pretty sensible negotiations with him, and I was privy to those negotiations. I saw him up close, and she wasn't prepared to give him anything they wanted. I mean, for example, Abbott was talking about doubling the refugee intake when he was talking to Adam Bandt and Wilkie. Well, no one was going to believe him on that. It was just too desperate and too extreme. He was certainly throwing everything he could at the country independents, but I think they were really concerned that he was just going to call an early election and would be back to the polls within weeks.
Surely Oakeshott must have bored the pants off you, though, mate. I mean, he must have just gone on and on and on and on.
He's a very genuine man, Rob Oakeshott, and he's a man of ideas. That's why he's never gone well in the National Party, Tom.
Well, yes, indeed. Well, if he was ever made treasurer, we would hope he wouldn't spend dollars the way he spends words. In any event, the Greens have proved a very, very unreliable coalition partner, you could say. Bruce, may I advise you consult the Liberal and National parties as to how to run a coalition successfully. I point to the Greens not supporting the government on the Malaysia solution and wanting a more draconian media inquiry. How do you rate them as a partner in government?
Not too highly, I've got to say. I think Labor, if it's going to be continuing as a first-line party, has to say, well, the Greens are actually... not our close friends. They're contesting a space that we've got to get into as well. I don't think Labor should go into coalitions with the Greens. Mind you, the Liberal Party went into a coalition with the Greens in Tasmania about 20 years ago, and that
Shame.
Was a disaster too.
Yeah, that has been excised from our history.
Sterling, you should think about that.
We do not mention it. It is the great dark stain on our proud history. Well, Bruce Hawker, Labor Party political advisor and managing director of campaigns and communications, we thank you humbly for your time this evening.
My pleasure.
Yeah, watch out for the unions, Bruce. Watch
mate,
out, mate.
Don't tell them where I live.
Yeah, don't tell them where you live. They're at Bunnings at the moment, mate, getting some power tools. That's what I've heard. See you, Bruce.
See you, fellas.
Looking to kick back and relax after a hard day wrangling on the ranch? Then why not grab a BJ? BJ Magazine is everything you've ever wanted to know about National Party Senator Barnaby Joyce and more. Every edition will be crammed full of your favourite segments, like Barnaby's What's Hot and Why It Has Nothing to Do with Climate Change. There's also Barnaby's Babylon, where the senator reveals what really went on behind closed doors at the Northeastern Tablelands Young Nationals branch meeting. And for the lads, there's BJ's Pillow Talk.
Now for a break.
Where Barnaby gives some raunchy tips on how to satisfy that insatiable desire for Christian marriage and a traditional nuclear family. And if you're really feeling risque, why not open our sealed section for revealing shots of Barnaby and Nationals leader Warren Truss straddling some Murray Grey bulls at the Gunnedah Agquip show. So what are you waiting for? Do yourself a favour and treat yourself to a BJ today.
Available now in ABC shops and ALP branch offices is the new board game based on the popular TV show Q&A. And it's really easy to play. First, choose your character.
I'll be the shrill anti-porn campaigner.
Okay, I'll be the Greens voting home viewer on Twitter.
Damn, that leaves me as the ex-Howard government senator from South Australia.
Next, roll the dice and see where the game takes you.
1, 2, 3, 4. Mystery card. Your derogatory reference to Tony Abbott failed to get enough audience applause. Miss a turn? What? That never happens.
Haha, sucker. Luck be a lady. 5, 6. Viewer tweet card. Your tweet, Malcolm Turnbull for PM, made it to air. Skip two places. Yes.
My go. Audience question card. Middle-aged, scarf-wearing woman has question about Iraq war. Ends saying George Bush is the real war criminal. You managed to get a word in. Move ahead 5 places. All right.
The Q&A board game. Surely the best fun you can have while drinking wine with your fellow university-educated friends in the political class.
Okay, it's just I'm going to take it as a comment. It could be quite a long one.
The Q&A board game. Warning, some questions are tougher than Turnbull in a leather jacket.
Restoring the balance.
We stand for fairness, free trade, and the Australian anthem.
Restoring the balance. Let's end this song. Let's end it now. End it. Thank you. On Triple J with myself, Young National, Tom Tomlinson, Young Liberal, Sterling Addison. You don't have to wear a tie in every evening, Sterling. You know,
yes.
You can undo your collar at least once, mate. Just have a beer. You know, I brought some Swan Lagers in. Have a beer. Just relax.
Never.
We'll be talking to Bill Shorten, the Honourable. I've got to say Honourable. He's the Assistant Treasurer, played by a dog in At Home with Julia. Bill Shorten will be joining us very soon.
At Home with Julia, will that be deemed not ideologically correct enough after the promised or threatened media inquiry has finished its business? That is the subject of what I'm about to talk about. The media inquiry that has been threatened by Senator Conroy, a professed enemy of the Australian newspaper, has been announced. Now, it's also being done in conjunction with the Greens, also a professed enemy of the Australian newspaper. Neither of them are fans. Now, some are quite rightly predicting the following will occur during the life of this media inquiry, Tom. They are predicting that Chris Mitchell, the editor of The Australian, will be removed from his post and lobotomised. The Australian will then be edited by the Department of Climate Change to ensure a balanced view of global warming. Then Chris Mitchell will return to his job with half a brain, which will immediately take The Australian to the left. This is what is being predicted.
I'm completely with you.
Now, you would have heard reports, no doubt, Tom, that the Greens Party have sent armoured personnel carriers, hybrid armoured personnel carriers, with loudhailers into the suburbs with the following message. Readers of The Australian are to report to re-education centres immediately. Once there, you will be asked to name friends or family who also subscribe to The Australian. Your cooperation is appreciated and will shave years from your sentence. Now, while in re-education camps, because, of course, all the illegal immigrants will be let go.
They'll be put straight into Christmas Island, Nauru.
Detention centres will be filled with people who have subscribed to The Australian once newsagents surrender their database of subscribers. These detention camps will see readers of The Australian corralled into the exercise court every morning where they will be forced at gunpoint to laugh at Michael Loonig cartoons.
That's how bad it is.
Yes. Yes, they will then have to burn in effigy. Effigies of Andrew Bolt or Henry Urges or Janet Albrechtson.
Yep.
And this is what is being promised. But I wonder if the ideological audit of every publication in Australia, let alone website, blog or TV show, will include this magazine, Tom, that I got recently here. Now, I see an advertisement here in this particular magazine, Tom, for small acreage tractors. It's four-wheel drive, has power steering, props and a canopy. But wait, I see no ringing endorsement of gay marriage here.
Yeah.
Will this be added to the list of hate media? Will this magazine, Farms and Farm Machinery, new and used tractors, farm implements and equipment, will that go down as the list of hate media? Will it need a license to print?
Bacon Busters, which is Australia's biggest feral pig hunting magazine, Sterling, that won't hit the newsstands unless hunters marry gay pigs.
Yes.
That's how bad. It's the only way it's going to get.
The media inquiry will demand it.
This is the sort of stuff that you'll see if Bob Brown gets his hand on the media, mate. You know what we'll be watching on Channel 9? The bloody organic farmer wants another government grant.
Yes.
That'll be one show.
The farmer wants a husband is the show.
Who wants to be a renewable energy millionaire?
Yes.
That's what we'll bloody see. You know, and let's smarten up the ABC if we're going to have this inquiry. I've long called for that chick who hosts Funniest Home Videos to get behind the desk of Media Watch.
Yeah, indeed.
Watch a little bit more, make it a little bit more entertaining.
A laugh track. Well, it already is a comedy at the moment. Now, Senator Brown is talking about breaking up the Murdoch empire. It was unlikely to be an outcome of this whole thing. But they're talking about Senator Conroy has not ruled out a fit and proper person test being extended to newspaper proprietors. Well, you should also extend that to certain MPs who like to visit women of the night.
Exactly.
It's an outrage.
Well, and the Age and the Sydney Morning Herald are going to get off scot-free.
Well, of course, because their pro-left bias puts the fair into Fairfax. Or so I'm told.
Restoring the Balance re-education tutorial number 32. Comcars.
Comcars are cars with drivers provided to members of parliament at taxpayers' expense. Coalition members use their vehicles to deliver meals to the elderly and take sick orphans to hospital for critical care. ALP Comcars are often involved in drive-bys, tailgating, trafficking of prohibitive substances, and trawling red light districts for prostitutes. They can often be identified with bumper stickers like, "If you can read this, you're obviously not from a Labour electorate," or "Honk if you're getting knifed by a faceless factional thug."
Restoring the Balance.
Proudly using non-union labour.
Triple J, Restoring the Balance with Young National Tom Tomlinson, myself, Sterling Addison, LLB, ONS. The music that your tax has funded, believe it or not, Tom, the sale of hydroponic marijuana grown by the majority of Triple J listeners is eventually taxed, which does itself find that money finds itself into public coffers, which then pay for music that Kingsmill adds.
And then they smoke the marijuana too.
Yes,
that's the only way you could bloody enjoy that song if you're off your head.
And therefore the circle is complete. That song, Calvin Harris, feels so close. The closest we're getting to this program, Tom, to any sort of Calvinism.
I want to talk about the Egg Corporation, and g'day to my mate Spruce, who heads the Egg Corporation, Sterling. He's a fine bloke, and they're talking about free range. Obviously, you know, there's got to be a definition, a legal definition of free range. I don't really see the point, but anyway, the Egg Corporation are proposing a sensible figure of 20,000 chickens per hectare.
Yes.
For free range. Sure, it's snug and cozy, but there you go. It's kind of like being in a bed sit for a chicken, or an egg, let's call it an egg sit.
Yes.
Okay, now, of course, there's one organisation that have to stick their bloody beaks in, okay, don't they? And that is the Greens.
The Greens,
of course,
yes.
An MP, John Cale. He wants to see, get this, Sterling, this is a laugh, he wants to see 750 hens per hectare.
Yes.
And he says there must be shade, there must be shelter, and there must be vegetation. What else do you want, John? An infinity pool as well?
Yes.
This is ridiculous. This is a yoke. That's what
it's
I said
a
at
yoke,
the Young
yes,
National
indeed.
Reading.
Well said, yes.
Humorous.
Yes.
I mean, this is the thing, Sterling. You give the Greens free range, mate, and the chickens, all right? If the Greens have their way, we'll be having bloody daily Balinese massages.
Yes.
They'll be living in condos.
Yes.
They'll be going for long walks along the beach and enjoying cocktails at sunset.
Not
That's
only
what
that,
the Greens want.
They'll die of old age, which is no use to anyone.
Exactly. There's only one cock in this story, Sterling,
yes.
And that's the Greens. Sure, 20,000 chickens is cosy. I'm the first to admit that, but what's wrong with a bit of spooning?
Yes.
Okay, you get to know your neighbours. You know, I like to think it's the hokey pokey test. If you can stick your left foot in, you can stick it out, and you can shake it all about, that's enough space, mate.
Indeed. Well, this is Australia. We're not made of land.
Exactly. And then KFC have been drawn into this fracas.
KFC, I will point out, is food.
Exactly.
It's chicken. It's eaten by people who
enjoy poultry.
Yes.
Apparently, the ACCC, is it ACCC? Is that how you
the
say it?
ACCC,
so?
Yes.
They're alleging that their chickens that they buy it off Steggles, right, that they can't roam free.
Yes.
Okay, so KFC have been advertising roam-free chickens, The Colonel has had to chuck in the refresher towel and take roaming free chickens off their advertising.
Yes,
mate. Half a metre is a roam.
Okay, how much do they want to travel?
Well, it's all relative. It can't fly.
Should we give them backpacks and put them on cock-tiki tours?
Yes,
I want my chicky. I want my chickens tasty, not well travelled. This is ridiculous. You know where I want a chicken to roam, Sterling? Into a bloody deep fryer and into some of the Colonel's finest herbs and spices.
Indeed.
Roam in that direction.
Yeah, I would argue that the customers of KFC are taxed mentally well enough by the choice of what tracksuit pants to wear when they dine there. They don't need to be thinking about the relative welfare of the poultry product they're about to devour.
That's right, Sterling. All this stuff, chickens have to come from barns, okay? Barns. They have to be in bloody barns. I don't care if they started in a barn as long as they end up in a bucket. Okay,
yes, indeed.
That's where I want my chicken. And then we've got this other definition, okay, that fine things like KFC and Red Rooster and that they've all got to grapple with, and chicken farmers and poultry farmers everywhere, barn laid.
Yes.
Everyone wants their bloody eggs barn laid. I tell you who was bloody barn laid, that was Maureen McInnes at the Gunnedah B&S.
Yes.
She was, guess who she was barn laid by, Sterling?
Oh,
me!
By you, yes, well done. I'm sure she's delighted that's now in the public domain. This insane bit of ideology could only have come from, I would argue, Tom, the secret herb and spice encrusted left wing of the Greens.
Restoring the balance.
We resent this waste of government money.
Triple J.
That's the greats. Certainly grating, if you ask me. Turn me on.
Yes.
Did the actual opposite of that, Sterling. That song, that was terrible. This is Restoring the Balance with myself, young National Tom Tomlinson, young Liberal Sterling Addison. It is the conversation of no confidence, Sterling.
Yes. Well, it's our somewhat dubious pleasure now, Tom, to speak to the ministry, the man who was in the ministry as Assistant Treasurer and Minister for Financial Services and Superannuation. I should point out he went to what some laughingly refer to as an exclusive Catholic school.
Mm.
Now, I ask you to draw the connection between the fact that he went to a Catholic school and is only Assistant Treasurer. No way would the Constitution allow anybody Catholic educated to get their hands on the levers, the fiscal levers of the country.
Mm.
He is the Honourable Bill Shorten. Good evening, Bill Shorten.
Good day. How are you going?
Yes, yes. Now, Bill, you actually have an MBA in the research I've done on you. Did you actually learn the people smugglers business model while studying an MBA? Do you know what it is? Can you tell us about the people smugglers business model?
Well, first of all, there have been Catholics who've been treasurers of Australia.
Well,
the most recent one that comes to mind.
Not
Paul Keating.
Was he practicing?
Oh, you'd have to ask him. I don't know.
I don't think so. Yes, but anyway, tell us about the MBA and the people smugglers business model.
The story is that some people come through Indonesia. They are desperate to get to Australia. And other people will put them on unsafe vessels at large amounts of money and send them to Australia.
Yes.
That's the people smugglers model.
Yeah, Bill, let's just talk about that. I mean, do you think Tony Abbott's going to work with you on this? I mean, what's your sense of, you know, what's going on?
Well, I don't know. One of the issues, which I know Chris Bowen, who's the immigration minister, has spoken to the government about and all the MPs, is that it's estimated that 4 in every 100 people who set sail on these boats drown. So we think that it is important to try and take the incentive out of people risking their lives. Now, as for what Mr. Abbott says, I think he is just into opposition for opposition's sake. If he genuinely believes that that offshore processing works, I'm at a loss to see why he wouldn't support changes to the legislation which are necessary following the court case, saying that if governments want to do these things, they've got to change the laws.
He wants to ensure people's human rights are being met.
Yes, well, everyone does.
Yes. Now, speaking of the moral thing to do, Bill Shorten, and the right thing to do, when are you, as Assistant Treasurer, going to declare all mining in Australia should be tax-free? In other words, in order to encourage mining companies to actually put down roots here in Australia, when are you going to relieve them of the burden of having to pay tax?
No, this must be a mistaken interview. I'm the Labor Assistant Treasurer, not the Liberal Assistant Treasurer.
Yes.
We think that as some of Australia's largest mining companies are making Guinness Book of Record profits, they could afford to pay some more tax.
But, I mean, Bill, that's keeping, you know, Australia strong, though. I mean, you keep the mining industry strong and you keep Australia strong, surely. I mean, you need to take some of the burden, you know, off your client Palmers, off your Cloppers, you know, off your Twiggy Forests.
No, I think I've got a different worldview on that. Mining is important, but something to remember is that most Australians don't work in mining. And what mining's doing is driving up the value of our dollar because the Australian economy's strong. Part of the problem with that, though, if you've got a high dollar, is that imports are a lot cheaper. Domestic tourism, people are more likely to go overseas than travel around Australia. It's harder for us to attract overseas students to come here because it's more expensive. So what we want to do with the profits of the mining tax is reduce the tax burden on other companies and other sections of the economy. We also want to allow an increase in compulsory retirement savings so that people's retirement savings can move from 9% of their pay to 12%.
Bill, let me change the topic. We were talking to Bruce Hawker before, and he was saying that he thinks the ALP should reduce the influence of the unions, you know, in pre-selection, all that sort of stuff. As someone who's, you know, come up through the union movement, I mean, what's your view on that, Bill?
I think Australian trade unions and Australian trade unionists contribute to Australia. I think the union link makes the Labor Party a better political party than it otherwise would be. Every day there's 2 million Australians who are in unions. There's thousands of delegates and thousands of people working for unions who want to try and make sure that people are safe at work, they get better pay, and they've got a say in what goes on at work. So I think the union connection helps keep the Labor Party's feet on the ground.
Now, Bill, Paul Howes is the head of the Australian Workers Union. The membership of that union has ballooned since 2007, and he's added nearly 30,000 extra members. What do you put his success down to?
I think the union is focused on growing members. I think the legal environment has changed. In the Howard years, the laws were very unfairly tilted against collective bargaining. I also think that he's got some good officials and people working hard across the union.
Finally, Bill, just we've got to ask, you know, both Beazley and Hawke have kind of endorsed you as a potential future PM. You know, is that your view? I mean, you know, K-Rudd, obviously, they're polling K-Rudd. I mean, if he could be PM by correspondence, he'd probably throw his hat in the ring right now. I mean, what's the influence of Kevin still on the party, and where do you stand in the whole sort of future in the ALP?
Well, I think Julia Gillard's a great Prime Minister. I think she's tough. She's determined to make sure that this is a government that governs a Labor way of thinking, which is about jobs, about social justice. She'll put a price on carbon pollution. I could give you the long answer, but the short answer is I think she's fantastic.
So we should all reduce our emissions?
Well, it depends which sort of emissions you're referring to.
Well, we shouldn't jump in a private jet to fly from America to a mine in Tasmania. Is that what you're saying? We shouldn't do that?
Yeah, if someone's done that, that's true.
Yes.
Well, Bill Shorten, Honourable Bill Shorten, thank you very much for joining us, and all the best, mate.
Well, long time listener, first time caller. Thanks for the chance.
Thanks,
Good
Bill.
Good evening.
This is Restoring the Balance on Triple J.
Restoring the Balance.
Let the free market decide.
This is Restoring the Balance on Triple J. Young National, Tom Tomlinson, me, myself, I, Young Liberal, Sterling Addison. That song that we heard there was Bring It On by Gaslight Anthem. Those who have not been into the studio with us should know that we are a low-carbon emission show. Yes, we do the show by whale oil candles.
What's in the mailbag?
Yes, we always want your feedback on this show. You can get us on the Twitter. It's at Sterling Addison or at Tomlinson, T-H, Omlinson Tom. We've got a Facebook page, Restoring the Balance, or go to our web page. Triple J have given us a web page.
Yes.
Obviously made it very difficult to access. It is, go to the Triple J site. It is restoring_the_balance.
And if the government have their way and block certain websites, Restoring the Balance will be on that list.
One of the first.
Prohibited.
Yeah. The NBN won't come to the Restoring the Balance server. Let me tell you, that's a big bypass of that, Sterling. We'll be on dial-up in a couple of years.
Indeed.
Anyway, this is where we try and answer your question. Scott Esplin has written to me, Sterling. He said, when will we have real Australian music on Super Request? This is a good question. Why has the Stalinist well, let's just say socialist, Rosie Beaton, with her pro-homosexual agenda, ignored my request for John Williamson? That is a very good question. I thought, why don't we have more John Williamson on Triple J, Sterling? Then I thought, well, you can't take drugs to John Williamson, yes. Can you, mate? You know, it's a song to be enjoyed, you know, with the natural fragrances of the Australian bush around you. But then I thought, you know what? I bet some filthy, bong-smoking, hipster scum has desecrated this anthem, this hymn, by putting some dance remix to it. And I was right. Have a listen to this.
True blue. Is it me and you? Is it me and you? Is it mom and dad? Is it a cockatoo? Did it stand by your mate when she's in a fight? Or just Vegemite? I'm asking you. I'm asking you. True blue. Is it me and you?
No, I can't listen to any more of it, mate. I can't.
I'm completely unaware of the original of that song.
Well, I'll give it to you, Sterling. Look,
please
this,
don't.
Just the drum beat goes on, of course. Yeah. No, yes. Let's get rid of it. Yeah. We in the coalition don't advocate the Malaysia solution because it's you know not really looking after people's human rights.
Yes.
But I like to take that guy's pants down and let his backside feel the sting of the rattan cane.
Well,
I'd give him 50 of the best, and there'd be a queue of young nationals behind me, Sterling.
I would like to assert my human right never to hear that again.
Now, Sterling, got a question for you, mate. This is from Janet Jones, and she wants to know, what do you think of the whole Xenophon parliamentary privilege debate?
Well, I followed this with high interest, as did many this week. The actions of a man who turned the upper house he turned it from Howard's castle into a coward's castle, using parliamentary privilege, I say, for shame. However, I would point out, when Bill Heffernan used the same house to make claims about a certain High Court judge, Bill did it to protect the innocent and vulnerable Comcars from further abuse. And it enlivened a dull Newsweek. But Nick Xenophon sadly misplaced in thinking he can shame the Catholic Church.
Mm.
It is an institution beyond shame. I will tell you why, because its standard response to cases of abuse is that the devil made priests do it. But the devil is proving somewhat difficult to put on the witness stand, much less subpoena. But I will say this, as a proud Anglican concerning the whole Catholic Church and its travails, Tom, that it is proving something of a boon to us in the Anglican Church. And I noticed mass defections. And I will point out that at service this morning, Tom, we were flooded. There were 32 people at Anglican service
in
this
Wallara,
morning.
Were they?
And I asked the question, where to put them all?
Sterling, let me ask, you know, I know you go along about the Anglicans, mate, but I've got to ask you this. You know, there's a lot of, you know, sort of homosexuals in the Anglican
Church.
Not
the Anglican Church I go to.
I mean, they're not far from gay marriage, mate. Let's face it.
It won't
happen.
They're
not far.
No,
there's lesbians there. There's homosexuals.
Yes.
There's Anglicans in the Mardi Gras. I don't want to step on your procession here, mate.
They are low Anglicans, not high Anglicans. And as it says in the Bible, my father's mansion has many houses, and the lowest, the worst street in heaven is reserved for gay clergy. It says it in the Bible.
Okay, I haven't
read it. The High Anglican Bible.
Another question from James Law. He's asked us, with Gillard opposing gay marriage, she's for offshore processing.
Yes.
She's upsetting the unions. Do you think she secretly wants to join the glorious Liberals?
Well,
she wouldn't be welcome at the Nationals, mate, but, you know, fair question for your mob.
Well, considering how Abbott has her on the ropes at the moment, her joining the Liberal Party would be something of the Stockholm Syndrome, I would argue. But if Gillard did come on strength as a Liberal, if we lowered our standards and admitted her into the party, she would become the party's second most well-known socialist behind, yes, you know.
Mm.
Yes, behind Malcolm Turnbull.
Turncoat.
Yes, Turncoat Turnbull.
He was pretty silent on the carbon tax debate, wasn't he?
Indeed.
He was just sitting there smoking his medical marijuana in his hemp leather jacket.
Well, he had an organic wine tasting to go to in Woollahra there, somewhere in Darlinghurst Road, somewhere in Double Bay. Where he was no doubt stabbing Tony Abbott in the back.
We always want your mailback feedback. Get on our Facebook page. It is Restoring the Balance. Also go to our Twitter at Tom Tomlinson or at Sterling Addison.
Restoring the Balance re-education tutorial number 16, Greenpeace.
Greenpeace is a non-government environmental organisation whose goal is to ensure the ability of the Earth to nurture diversity. The movement was founded by Russian dictator Joseph Stalin, who still directs many of Greenpeace's campaigns. These gain publicity through cheap stunts, wildly exaggerated claims, and paid actors posing as stricken whales. Greenpeace merchandise is made in airless dungeons by brain-damaged orphans, and the organisation has been known to break the legs of those who are late-paying membership. This re-education tutorial has been printed on paper made from old-growth forests and sold by Greenpeace.
Restoring the balance.
We resent this waste of government money.
Triple J.
Check it out.
That was Nero, Me and You. This is Restoring the Balance with myself, young National Tom Tomlinson, young Liberal Sterling Addison. This is Triple J, the conversation of no confidence. And we're pleased to have a guest in the studio right now. It is the Tattoo and Body Art Expo in Melbourne on the weekend, Sterling. I don't know if you... Yes. I know Penny was there, I heard.
Yes.
He'd be one of the most heavily tattooed gentlemen in Australia, I would say. In fact, he's known as The Face. Tony Cronin, Mr. Tattoo. He's been Chopper Reed's chauffeur. He's been his bodyguard. We're pleased to have him in the studio. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening. How are you going?
Now, how much of your body do you have tattooed, Tony?
Probably 80%.
80%?
Filling in the gap still.
Now, can I ask why you're a fan of ink tattoos and not royal tattoos, such as those held at Edinburgh Castle every year?
I didn't say I didn't like bagpipes. I do like bagpipes. I reckon the guys that play the bagpipes should have friggin' tattoos as well.
Tony, let me ask, I've sort of been partial of, you know, thought about getting a Southern Cross tat occasionally just on the lower back there.
Oh, yeah.
What's popular in the tattoo world? I mean, there's rumours in the Young Nationals there's a guy who's got Wang tattooed on his wang, and later in the night it extends to Wangaratta. I don't know whether that is true, but, are people going the intimate tattoos, or what's the trend do you notice?
If you're talking about getting a small one on the bottom of your back there, that's what women do, mate. So yes. I'd be thinking heavily about that.
Okay.
You have got a dick, haven't you?
Well, look, in the B&S balls that comes out, I do a little bit of puppetry. I don't know if you've ever seen the Eiffel Tower or the wristwatch, Tony, but after a few swipe, I can certainly...
I've seen the Eiffel Tower.
It's a different type of Eiffel Tower. It's a different type.
Yes.
But, Tony, there's a lot of Asian writing. I'm not, au fait with that. I prefer your tattoos in English. Do you have actual messages on your body, or is it just decorations?
I have no Asian writing at all, because it would probably say Edith Joe's or something like that.
Exactly, mate.
And you wouldn't have a clue, would you?
Yeah, exactly. So is it mainly art, or do you have, names on your body as well, or is it just art form?
I've got family names. I've got my kids' names on my face.
And how long has it taken you to be that tattooed? How many years have you been at it, Tony?
Well, I started at 13, and I did probably a good 10 years, and I had a 15-year break, and then I got back into it again, and I'm still going, filling in gaps.
How, it being illegal to get tattoos at 13, I would have thought.
Yes.
Yes. Did the illegality of it bother you greatly?
Oh, totally. I went and, when I had it done, I went and got myself locked up on purpose.
Yes. Yes.
I went to the police station. I said, I've done something wrong, Constable.
Yes.
And,
did you call him Sir?
Sir Constable.
Yes, indeed. Constable, the only Constable I'm aware of is the painting that hangs in my father's drawing room.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, let me ask, as a heavily tattooed gentleman, obviously, what sort of reactions do you get, Tony? I mean, some of the chicks I know at Tamworth CWA might and sort of be au fait with a tattooed type of variety gentleman. I mean, do you find people react in different ways to you, mate?
Well, first of all, where's Tamworth? Is that up near Ballarat somewhere?
Tamworth, sort of central New South Wales.
Oh, okay.
Gunnedah.
Tamworth. A bit of singing and stuff goes on there.
Bit of country music, I'm sure you like that. But, I mean, how do the reactions find, especially with different parts of Australia? How do you go, Tony?
Some people cross the road, some people look the other way and walk past me. Some people want to know my life story in 5 minutes. Yes. It's just all different.
Now, we should point out that Tony's face is completely covered in tattoo in all manner of hues, we should say. Tony, have you applied for any sort of special categorisation for the discrimination you would get as a coloured person?
Actually, have. I think it comes under disability thing with Centrelink.
Yes.
Because
Centrelink, Tom. Do you know them?
Well, yeah. Triple J listeners know about Centrelink, mate. As soon as this show ends, that's where they are on Monday mornings.
Yes. That's it. Because every job they used to send me to, I got knocked back, and that's a disability to me.
Now, what? You're a man who wanted to work.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, you have worked with Chopper Reed before, Tony.
Yes.
You know, I've enjoyed the Underbelly books and Underbelly series. I mean, what's Chopper like, you know, in real life?
Well, to me, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
So what can I say?
I would imagine that anyone, any friend of mine who'd been convicted for any criminal act, I would immediately disavow and declare persona non grata. Could you explain to me why you've maintained an association with a man who has defied the laws of the land?
Can you speak English, mate?
I believe that was Queen's English. That was. And anyone who has spent time as a guest of Her Majesty.
Are you saying you're a queen now?
No.
He's a royalist.
He is a royalist. Indeed, yes.
All right, hit me with the question again.
All right, yes. The man has spent time in prison, I believe.
Yes.
Well, why would you associate with him unless he's there for trumped-up charges of insider trading?
Well, the real reason, because I knew Pentry was going to be closed down and I knew that we were allowed to collect the bricks, what were they called?
Yes, bluestone. Yes.
For future dollar value.
Yes.
That's the only reason I wanted to meet him, so I could get a Pentridge brick.
Tony, let me tell you, do you think like tattooing is becoming more popular or less? I mean, do you find that, you know, because it seems to me that it's become, you know, with this generation, it's become like a very popular art form.
It's become more popular and it really pisses me off because you see these young girls walking around now and they've got these stupid little Betty Boop tattoos, you know, one on the back of their leg, one on their thigh or whatever.
Yes.
And Jesus, I hate them.
It's unbecoming. Yes, it's unladylike.
It is unladylike, and I don't think they should be allowed out.
Indeed,
actually.
Yes.
Exactly.
Now, Tony, I meant to ask you, on your curriculum vitae, your CV, it says you worked as a nurse's aide in a psychiatric hospital. My question to you is, what percentage of inmates at a psychiatric prison are Labor members?
Well, I never ever asked anyone because being a person that doesn't vote, I don't give a...
What? Why do you not? You come in here, you flout your association with lawbreakers, and you've admitted yourself just then that you've broken the law by failing to vote.
Absolutely.
Well,
Tony, I mean, you've got to get behind the Nationals, don't you, mate? I mean,
is your vote up for grabs?
What do they do? What do the Nationals do?
Well, you know, we're anti-carbon tax. We're for the land. You know, I don't know if you've been following the New Zealand apple debate, but we're very worried about what's going on in orchards over in New Zealand. You know, we're across a lot of the big issues. Tony.
Yeah, well, you know, I've just got one thing to say about what's that opposition leader's name?
Tony Abbott.
Abbott and then the shill that runs our country.
Prime Minister Julia Gillard.
Those two need to get together and pork the shit out of each other. That's what I reckon.
Well, it's a reference to the other
white meat.
That's exactly right.
Live export trade. Yes.
Well said. Tony, now you're an author, aren't you, as well? You were saying just before you went on air. Have you written any political biographies?
I've said some stuff about politics. I haven't written the book about politics. No.
Are we likely to hear more political commentary from you?
Today?
Yes.
Well, if you swing a few questions my way, I can give you my answers.
Well, Tony, who do you think will win the next election? That's our final question to you. Obviously, it's a minority government. Gillard's in the minority government. What's your prediction?
Pauline Hanson. I'm going for her.
Well, I don't know if she's running, but I'm sure she will. Tony, thank you very much for joining us, a.k.a. The Face. What have you got planned? What's the future hold for Tony?
I'd like to buy a new HSV and a new Harley.
Yeah, well, you should have done some circle work. We've got a Spit and Swallabies BNS ball coming up in the Malleyland, and there's a lot of circle work going up there, Tony. So if you're up for it, mate, I'll give you an invite.
Absolutely. Yes, now we should point out that Tony is a fifth Dan in judo and a third Dan in jiu-jitsu. That said, I will point out that there are many grammatical errors on your website.
Grammatical?
Which disappointed me. You being an author.
What's grammatical mean, mate?
Well, there are missing commas, and then there are past participles that have gone wandering.
Is this guy for real? Like, do you have to?
He's a little bit uptight, Tony. Yeah. Face it, he's in the suit and tie, as you know. And look, I've tried to sort of loosen him up with a couple of frothies every so often.
I'm making a stand for the written word, which you, as an author, should be doing, Tony. What is your latest book? Where can we buy it?
Latest book isn't printed yet, but you can buy it on
Amazon.com,
and it's called A Book About Common Sense in Life.
There we go. Yes. Now,
okay, send it to Julia Gillard, will you, mate, in the Labor caucus.
Indeed, yes. Drawing upon your experiences as a nurse, as somebody who has served his country in the Army and the Navy and the police force, quite ironically, I would imagine.
Correct that little. Protective services.
Ah, okay. Yes, well done.
I wasn't a copper.
All right, thank you. Well, and we support the work of all police on this show. You've also worked as a labourer, a bouncer for the club circuit in Melbourne, yes. A ceramic tiler, and been at the university for 6 years doing an applied science degree, so you know that global warming is a fraud.
What does that mean?
Indeed.
Exactly. That's the question we've asked many times on this show, and I ask Triple J listeners to reflect on. Tony, thank you very much for joining us, mate. It's been a pleasure to talk.
Thanks for having me.
This is Restoring the Balance on Triple J.
How many times have you said to your partner, the thing I'd most like to share with you is an aerial view of Horsham? Now you can, with Dan Brighetti and the boys at Horsham Hot Air Balloons. HHAB have been offering spectacular views of the northwestern Victorian grain belt for over 10 years and take safety very seriously. Did you know that 45 people died last year in light plane crashes? That's over twice the number we had at Horsham. Each flight is 45 minutes, and upon landing, you'll be given a framed photograph and a discount voucher to the local chiropractor. Book now and we'll upgrade you to our special Valentine's package. 3 hours in the air with a 4-litre cask of Riesling, 2 coffee mugs and some party franks. Horsham Hot Air Balloons, taking off rooftop guttering since 2001.
Coming soon to the ABC, the original sitcom that dared to go where others wouldn't. Kevin 07 at Home. This cheeky program took an irreverent look at our Prime Minister behind closed doors in a show not loved by the viewing audience but by the people that matter, political commentators.
Well, it's a romantic night and you're late.
We're truly sorry.
We say sorry.
Well, I've burnt dinner, so it's takeaway. How about Chinese?
您在我们的国家是我们最尊敬的客人.
The ABC would like to apologise for airing a sitcom based on the home life of a Prime Minister. We recognise that this is in bad taste and should not be the subject of a comedy. We now return you to an appropriate subject matter for situational comedy. Here now, a scene from a Nazi prison camp featuring a character dressed in the uniform of the unit responsible for the Holocaust.
Now that the war is over.
The what is what?
The war. It's over.
The war is over.
That's right, General. Haven't you heard?
No. And neither have the Americans. They bombed Berlin just 1/2 hour ago.
You mean the war isn't over?
Of course it is not over.
Gee, Hochstetter, what a bad break, and after you let those 4 underground prisoners go. But you made a lot of friends for the Gestapo.
Restoring the Balance.
Let the free market decide.
Restoring the Balance on Triple J with young National Tom Tomlinson, young Liberal Sterling Addison. That song was The Panics, Tom. Endless Song. Oh, I'm sorry. Endless Road.
Yes, it was a song that never seemed to end, wasn't it? Yes, now coming up, we're going to have our prayer segment. I've got a very interesting fact for you about the oyster industry, Sterling, and that. Some very disturbing news going on there. But right now, it's my favourite segment.
And now it's time for
What's Tom listening to this week?
This is when we play some decent music on the, we call it the J's, don't we? The J's.
Well, then we don't play music, we play tunes.
That's right.
We play cuts of albums.
So this is some good country music. And what I like about country music worldwide, Sterling, is that very good lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, there's almost some poetry. You know, there's been a long tradition of bush ballads.
Rarely, rarely does it contemplate the bucolic, I've found. It tends to wander into more prosaic themes.
Yes, and I've got some quite romantic songs for you right now, mate. This first one is by a guy called Don Bruns. See, now, what I like, that the name of that song, Get Your Tongue Out of My Mouth, I'm Kissing You Goodbye.
Yes.
What I like about that song, Sterling, is even though he knows she's a bit of a slapper, oh, sorry, it's not politically correct, she's sleeping around a little bit, mate.
Yes.
Even though that, he's still gone in for one last tonguey. Just before he dumps her.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about this song, because it's kind of, you know, like he's gone, just you tickle the tonsils one more time.
Well,
in the middle of that, he dumps her. Even though I reckon it'd be quite hard to understand him if she's got his tongue down his throat, but he still dumped her during the tonguey.
That song indeed is worthy of that level of analysis, Tom. And who's to say the art of songcraft is not alive and well? And those foretelling the death of chivalry have also likewise been proved erroneous.
All right, Sterling. This is another good song, and this is
another good song.
This is from the Dennis Warner Band. I think you'll enjoy this one, mate. Here we go. If my nose
was full of nickels, yes,
I'd blow it all on you.
Where the fiscal meets the old factory. Indeed, yes.
It is. It's sort of equating, you think mucus, or you think snot, he's substituted nickels.
Yes.
So blowing your nose, blow money. So it's kind of like is it a wordplay? Is that what you call it?
Of sorts, yes.
So he'd blow
a non sequitur. I would urge BHB Billiton to immediately start mining those nostrils. I fear they would hit an air pocket called that man's brain.
Restoring the Balance Re-Education Tutorial Number 73, Soy Milk.
Soy milk is produced by soaking dry soybeans and grinding them with water. Soy milk first came to Australia in the early 80s when the Labor government sought to placate its lunatic vegan fringe and put honest Australian dairy farmers out of work. Soy milk drinkers claim to be lactose intolerant, but are more likely to be intolerant of private enterprise, market freedom, and Western democracy. Many consider the threat posed by soy milk and its consumers to be the greatest moral challenge of our time.
Restoring the Balance.
Because you're never fully dressed without a national flag.
Restoring the Balance on Triple J, Young National, Tom Tomlins and myself, Sterling Addison, shaking his head in disbelief that such rubbish would ever be broadcast. Muse, thoughts of a dying atheist. Will all atheists die?
Yes.
They have no maker to meet. But they will be judged. They will be judged harshly in the afterlife by a cruel but sometimes forgiving Anglican God.
Let's talk passports, Sterling. I don't know if, you know, I've been overseas, as I mentioned before. I was dictator liaison officer for the Australian Chaff Board for many years in the Middle East. We stuffed that up with the Arab Spring, is that what we call it?
Yes.
Not selling as much grain, but that's another story. Now on passports, apparently, in Australia, you can be gender diverse. Sterling.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, diversity is the new religion.
Exactly.
There's no Christianity anymore. One must be diverse. One must celebrate diversity, whatever that is.
So, Sterling, when someone asks you if you're a man or a woman now, mate, you can say, pass. Or
yes.
you can say, can I get back to you? Or what about some thinking music? I've got a genius idea for you, ABC types. Someone asks you that question, why don't you take a look down your pants, mate? That's normally a good indicator. I reckon you'd somehow be able to piece the puzzle together.
Yes,
indeed.
Have you
got something swinging there, or haven't you?
Indeed, the emasculation of Western values proceeds apace, thanks to the sponsors of this idiocy,
which is
would be
the UN.
Indeed.
Of course, soon we're going to have toilets, Sterling, with an M, an F, and a question mark.
Yes.
That's what we reduced to. I mean, this is what Navi Pillay, I haven't pronounced that right, I'll probably get a stern memo from the ABC. This is what she said. She's the UN Commissioner for Human Rights. This is something that would be welcome news for many transgender and intersex people in Australia. Mate, I'm intersex, but not intersex. From now on, they will not be required to undergo surgery or hormonal treatment in order to be able to express their gender identity. It's identity, is it now?
Yes, it's all about identity. It's identity politics writ large.
I also urge other states around the world to review their own laws, policies and practices to ensure that discrimination against transgender and intersex individuals is addressed in a systematic and effective way.
Yes, well, again, Tom, it reads like that pamphlet that you handed me regarding the UN and its imposition of a one-world government, the very pamphlet
that's
that you
right.
asked me to drop off at the rifle range,
That's right. It's a world government, mate,
indeed.
And they want to eliminate all gender.
Yes.
Mate, the UN got hands of it. It wouldn't be farmer wants a wife. It'll be farmer wants a transgender, sexually indeterminate hermaphrodite.
Indeed.
That's
well,
what the UN wants to see, mate.
Isn't the UN's job not about eradicating gender, but eradicating Israel and encouraging underage prostitution wherever it sends its peacekeepers? What is the UN meddling in our underpants for?
Very good point. And you know, people will say, oh, you know, Tom Tomlinson, the young national, he's intolerant. He's typical of a national, you know, country boy. Let me say this to you. I watched, you know, 15 minutes of the Mardi Gras a couple of years ago when Gretel Colleen was hosting. I thought it was Big Brother up late, but I stayed with it.
Yes.
And I watched 15 minutes of it. All
well,
right. And
it may have been a Big Brother up late.
It
yes,
was.
Indeed.
Not
well said, yeah.
Not snide remarks. So let's say, let's get rid of the intolerant stuff. But this gender diversity, I don't understand. Diversity when you're looking at a lot of imported beers
yes.
behind a public bar, that's diversity. You got a penis or you haven't.
After releasing three EPs and touring relentlessly, the Jezebels are now ready to release their debut album, Prisoner. The Sydney Quartet have again honed in on their unique mix of dramatic driving rhythms and soaring melodies, creating one hell of an indie album. Prisoner, the debut record for the Jezebels. Our feature album right now on Triple J.
Restoring the balance with Sterling and Thomas.
Constitutional monarchists of the month.
Restoring the balance on Triple J with young national Tom Tomlinson and myself, Sterling Addison. A rarely lauded upside of supposed anthropogenic global warming is an endless summer, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
That celebration of that event or eventuality.
If the Greens have any say.
Indeed, was brought to us by the Jezebels.
Mm.
Yes.
This is Restoring the Balance, almost at an end. We've got in our prayers soon, but right now...
And now it's time for the Restoring the Balance What's On Guide.
What's On Guide for the week for Conservative youth. For the Young Nationals, Sterling, let me say that the Walgett BNS photo competition has started. Now, the Walgett BNS are looking for people to provide them with the most innovative, creative and original picture featuring the words Walgett BNS, okay? And they're going to use it as a promotion for that BNS, which is one of the best BNSs, let me say, that New South Wales does have. And the winner will receive two entry tickets. Now, they after what's happened in previous years and in previous BNSs, Sterling, they have pleaded with people not to have a highly offensive or illegal picture.
Well,
because obviously the temptation is to whack it on the side of a severed goat penis
yes.
or to, you know, write it on a piece of flaming toilet paper as you streak through a wedding.
Well,
not
well,
this year, they're saying.
Well, who makes that highly subjective judgment, Tom?
Well, it is the Walgett, it's their committee. Okay, so they're going to go
committee.
Through it.
Yeah. The committee is censoring.
And,
they're curtailing freedom of speech to the artists
well,
of rural New South Wales, are they?
Well, last year there was the guys doing puppetry, and obviously the W and the G were very difficult to do, and they put a lot of effort into it. A line of guys
yes.
spelling out Walgett BNS. That was deemed highly offensive, and it was a subject of an inquiry. So don't go down that road again. Keep it legal.
Yes, keep it legal indeed. Speaking of legal, it's 100 years since the Australian Navy was granted the right to become the Royal Australian Navy. That done by the King of England at that time, who was?
Victoria? George?
Yes, George
okay.
the Fifth. Well
right.
done. Well, this Friday, it's your chance to get out of the office.
Yeah.
That's also known as a place of work.
Okay.
To Triple J
listeners
staring
yes.
mutely with their mouths open at the radio thinking, what is an office? It's where people work. Indeed, well, you can leave your office on Friday to see over 1,300 serving naval members celebrate this centenary with the freedom of entry into the city of Sydney. Swords will be drawn. It sounds like a certain photo opportunity for a BNS. Swords will be drawn, bayonets fixed, drums will beat, bands will play, and colours will fly. The parade will commence outside the town hall at 11:20. Now, that is well worth seeing to celebrate the great achievements of our Australian Navy in keeping out boat people.
Okay, go along to that. That sounds like a hoot, Sterling. Can I just very finally end, urge, if you're in the Orange area in the week, to kill some rabbits. The Orange Agricultural Institute are looking for dead rabbits to help their research into rabbit hemorrhaging diseases. Okay, but they don't actually need the full rabbit. They just really want a frozen rabbit liver. Okay, so if you can go out, get a stubby, get a shoddy, get a scalpel, head out into the fields, kill, eviscerate a couple of bunnies, freeze a liver and send it into the Orange Agricultural Institute. Not only a great weekend, Sterling, but also helping research into dead bunnies.
And we certainly hope they wear it as a pendant and enter a fashion show.
Restoring the balance.
Conservative Youth of Australia have made their choice.
This is Triple J Restoring the Balance with myself, young National Tom Tomlinson, young Liberal Sterling Addison. That was Machu Picchu. You'd know that. I went there on a Kentucky tour, actually, Sterling. Yes. The Strokes. We had a few of those as well, let me tell you.
On the summit of that, particular temple.
Exactly.
Indeed. Well, is it any wonder we're loathed overseas at times?
Well, I wouldn't say that, Sterling, but let me say this. All right, you Greens, you NRLP, I would like to see a media inquiry solely on that song. All right, that was terrible.
Well, for celebrating Aztec idolatry, perhaps.
Exactly, very yes. Well. I don't know what that means, but that's a start.
Remember in our prayers.
Well, we, of course, worship a Christian God to whom we do not need to make sacrifices for a good harvest. Well, so I ask all of you to remember in your prayers this evening upon your periods of quiet reflection at the end of the day, which many Triple J listeners, I hope, would conduct.
They're
or
reflecting
indulge
on a packet of Cheezels and Tim Tams and watching Rage. That's what they're reflecting on.
Well, I ask those who are of a more spiritual bent to perhaps remember in their prayers that we, Lord, your humble creations, may see the wisdom of purchasing a Bentley GT from as little, Tom, as $1,343 per week. Amen. We also ask, dear Lord, that the Australian Tax Office may look with mercy on our purchases.
I ask everyone to remember in their prayers the Australian oyster industry. I know you enjoy an oyster, Sterling.
Well, Penny, my fiance, consumes them nightly. And then
is in a very good mood. Is that what you're saying? Bit toey. But anyway, Sterling, oysters, you should tell her to steer clear of them, mate, because oysters have herpes. And people are thinking that I'm joking, but they're mobilising to prevent the spread of a virus. It's caused huge losses, of course, in France. Okay, yeah. It's the Ostrich herpes virus 1. Okay, it poses no risk to human health, but the president of the shellfish industry, a good friend of mine, Bruce Zippel, is so worried that he's off to France to find out more about the virus. Now, it is no accident that the herpes virus has started in France, because let me say, shucking an oyster means something completely different
indeed
in the suburbs of Paris, mate. Let me tell you that.
Indeed, majority Catholic country.
Let me tell you, and this is a young national I know, had a few beers, but he reckons that the French oyster farmers indulge in tea bagging. I don't know exactly what that means, mate.
Well, leaf tea obviously gives a superior flavour. So they should be condemned for any, you know, if they have to slum it with a tea bag, then that is most unfortunate.
French oysters riddled with venereal diseases. The herpes virus has hit our oyster industry. So let's hope we don't have to put on a prophylactic, Sterling, just to consume an oyster.
Yes.
That'd be terrible. And just can I just do one more quick one? We've got time? Yes, I'm getting a nod. To the residents of Wandilli. This is from the Wandilli advertiser at Sterling. Can you remember in your
which is soon to be shut down, of course, after a media inquiry.
Exactly.
If it's not endorsing gay marriage, this could be the last we ever hear of it.
Well, Wandilli residents are having to pay pump-out fees for their sewerage. Okay, not only that, but in Bargo, Buxton, Wilton, Douglas Park and Yandera, they're having to pay a connection fee just to pump out the bog. All right, and Mr. Rao there has asked for a hardship provision for residents that cannot afford to connect to the sewer out there.
Well, if he's asking for a hardship provision, please, I urge you to consume a stool softener.
Exactly, mate. So for everyone who's having to get the pump into the sort of the septic tank, obviously, you know, they've got backyard dunnies, they've got a big pit there, they're having to pump it out themselves. Let's remember in your prayers the fact that they will one day be connected to the sewer in Bargo.
And that Noah himself may appear, that Noah and may, with a sweep of his hands, part the Brown Sea.
The conversation of no confidence has wound up for another week, Sterling. Some drug-addled hipster's going to come in and play some music, apparently, till the morning.
Yes.
Till some more drug-addled hipsters come in and do the breakfast program.
Indeed, yes.
But you can continue this conversation with us online, can't you, mate? You're on Twitter, Sterling?
Yes, Sterling Addison with two Ds. You're on it yourself.
I am. It's at Tom Tomlinson. Actually, I noticed a Penny is on Facebook these days, getting quite a few pokes. I noticed by a lot of blokes.
Yes, many of the surfing employees, the shirtless layabouts she employs there, have said often to me when I go to pick her up that they have just poked her.
You can also go to our Triple J webpage, which is triplej.net.au/restoring_the_balance. And we're on Facebook, just under Restoring the Balance, coming right on our wall. You might be able to get to Penny through that Facebook page. I'm not sure.
Yes.
Many seem to have found her all on their own, Sterling.
Indeed, yes.
We'll be back at 9 p.m. next Sunday. May your times be conservative times. Good night.